Let me tell you one of the things God is saying about today, Duetta. You know where it says in Romans chapter 6, present your members as instruments of righteousness. Do you know what that word instrument means? A weapon. That kind of instrument. Holman's got it right. I like Holman. You know what those arms are? Weapons of righteousness against our enemy. It can't be done. It just got done. In your face, Satan. That's what we are to do with our members of our body. Present them as weapons of warfare. Weapons of righteousness. It's a weapon of righteousness. It's something you can't gainsay. We've got a doctor's report. You know, you can. I've been to these healing meetings where everybody comes in with headaches and they leave without their headaches. It's like, yeah, right. Well, my back was really sore, but now it's not. But when you've got MRIs that show damage, and now you have MRIs that don't show damage, these are weapons of righteousness. Is what, God, what are you doing and what are you saying? Why is this happening? Why is that? Why is the other? Why is this? Why? That's the question. Don't tell God what to do. Find out, what is God saying? Some of my best, when I used to teach the adult classes over here in the old building, some of my very best times, I mean, you could feel the anointing. They were rich and they were wonderful. And then when I went to turn the recording off, and it never got turned on. It was just for us.
Amen.
Everything that God does is just for you. Just for you. Just for you. And we don't understand that. We don't believe it. And what we're supposed to do is mix it with faith. Because we're supposed to actually believe that everything that happens is just for me. That's what I'm going to preach about this morning, all right? I'm not going to take a lot of time because we're going to have a couple of people who want to get wet. All right. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, we come before you this morning. We don't know exactly what's going on. We don't know why there's glitches with the sound system. We don't know why there's glitches with the amp. But I think it's because we have an enemy that's had his way for a long time and he's really upset. Because we've got some MRIs that prove him wrong. And we've bought in, Lord. We have bought in, not intentionally, but we've bought in because that's the way we were raised. And it wasn't intentional, it wasn't out of malice, it's just the way we were raised to believe that the world and the world's values are the right values. And they are not. And so, Lord, it's out of the norm. It's not many places to go to find what true values are. And as we know, the scriptures have contained within them the words of life, Lord. But you can go to the scriptures like the Pharisees did and never find it. Because they speak of you. You and you alone, Jesus, are the values of Father. In you bodily is all the fullness of God. We want to know exactly what God is like. It's you. And we have to admit it. We don't give us grace to not be consoled over this fact, but to realize that it's true, but it's not something we can be proud of and not something that we're going to let stay, but we don't know you yet. But I thank you that you're teaching us who you are. That's eternal life. So, Lord, in all of this, teach us who you are, and what are your ways. Because to know you is one thing, and to know your ways is another. And we need to know both. Bless us this morning, I pray, by your Spirit, through your word, as you have so far, and we're grateful. Thank you. Bless our pastor. Grant him health. Grant him strength. Grant him right now, Lord, a great sense of your presence and your goodness. You are good and you are in absolute and total control. So that his heart will rest. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm in the Holman because I can't find my New American Standard. So you're all stuck because you don't have Holmans. Audrey does, but the rest of you don't. And I have my glasses. I'm in Ephesians, and I'm not going to start at the beginning of something, and I'm not going to finish at the end of something. And I haven't told Lloyd, so he hasn't got a clue, other than I just said it's in Ephesians. Ephesians, we're going to start, Lloyd, in chapter 1 and verse 20, and we're going to read through chapter 2, verse 10. From 1:20 to 2:10. Got that? All right. And we like to read it together. And yeah, see, yeah, we don't, something's hot. Something's help them figure it out. Something is picking up more than it's supposed to. And we're not the regular sound people. So we don't, but you hear that little, that means it's getting just a tiny bit of overfeed, like my amp. Now, when we read this word, what you're not going to do, what version have you got up there, friend?
NAS.
Okay, what you're not going to do is read words. This is Paul speaking to you and to me, and he's telling us something. And so what you and I are going to do is we're going to look at this as if we want to find out what he's saying. All right? It's very important. And then I'm going to talk a little bit, hopefully, to help us gather what I think Paul wants us to gather, what the Lord wants us to gather about this for this morning. All right? For this morning. All right, let's look at it. Verse 20. Which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived, in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, most of you have been to this church quite a bit, so you probably have an idea where I'm going to go, but I'm not going there, okay? I got 3 points. I said to the Lord, do you want me to have 3 points? You know, pastors usually, they're nice and organized and all this stuff and read from their notes and everything. I said, you want me to have 3 points? And the Lord says, your words are to be spirit and they are to be life. Amen. And if you remember my 3 points, you might go out here for the rest of your life and remember my 3 points perfectly and never get spirit and never get life. So I have 3 points, but what I want you to get is spirit and life. I want to speak to your spirits. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Tony can. Tony, come up closer.
Jeannie can't hear either.
Come up closer. I know. I'm the dynamic man. I drive Bill out nuts because he equals it all out from the highs and lows. And he tries to make it all audible. You guys hear what? Do you hear me when I preach? Can you make out everything? See, you have an advantage to listening. But when I speak live, I go to extremes. All right. First thing I want you to look at is this. And that's in where we started. In verse 20. He demonstrated this power. We're going to get to that. in the Messiah by raising him from the dead and seating him at the right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but in the one to come. And he put everything under his feet and appointed him as head over everything for the church. Take a moment to figure out what that's saying, okay? We read words in it and they don't always click. He appointed God. First of all, God has raised Jesus up above everything. And to prove it, he's seated. He's not standing. He's not fighting. He's not going places. He's seated. That means it's finished. I'm done. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Other scripture says he's just waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. He's seated. So here he is. But now God has taken and made him. He's given him as the head over his church. Now we all know, oh yeah, Jesus is the head over the church. Okay. What that means is that everything, absolutely everything. Are you listening to me? You know what everything means? No. Your heads are going like this, like the little dog in the back of the car when it goes around. No, you don't. Because when something goes wrong, right away you go, ah, what happened, God? Right? Yeah. Right? Right? You know why you do that? Because you don't believe he's in control of everything.
That's true.
Oh, by the way, God, did you notice? Like you didn't know. Oh, by the way, God, did you see what the devil just did? And God says, yeah, I know what the devil just did. I gave him permission. What? Those are portions of the scripture we don't like to go to, but they're in there. And the reason why they're in there is because that's the only way the devil does a thing. Did you know that? If he did anything in your life, it's because God gave him permission. Oh, no way. I won't go through the stories because you know, and I'm not going to be long because I got a couple people to baptize. But we remember the story with Job. And the only thing that happened with Job was what God gave permission. Here's one that'll really jar your teeth really bad, okay? It's when God wanted Ahab to go up to Ramoth Gilead and get killed. And get what, Stan? And get killed. God wanted Ahab to... Whew. Which God are we talking about? The God who is or the God we want him to be? He wanted to take Ahab up there to Ramoth Gilead so he could be killed. And so here he is in heaven and he's asking all his servants around him saying, how are we going to do this? And they're all suggesting one thing and suggesting another. And a spirit comes up. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read something like that, I go, what is that? What is a spirit? I mean, I can conjecture, but I'd like to know, what is a spirit? I mean, it's a spirit is a spirit. I know, I'm a Bible scholar, blah, blah, blah. A spirit is a spirit. But you know what I'm saying? There are loose spirits running around. It didn't say an evil spirit either, Mark. It just said a spirit. A spirit comes up and says, I know what I can do. I know what to do this. I will go and put a lie in the prophet's mouths. And I will be a lying spirit. And God said, hey, good idea. You do that and you will succeed. Now, none of us in this room believes God should do that. But he did. And he didn't call it sin. And he didn't call him an evil spirit. And the purposes were God's. So I'm telling you, we have values. What I want us to do is recognize we have values of what God should and shouldn't do and what God is and isn't like. And they come from the world, saints. Hear me. They come from the world. They did not come from God. They came from this religion we call Christianity, which is not God's standard. And we bought into it. We're not malicious and evil. That's all we know. That's what's prevalent. Right now, by the way, this is just a side and I'll be done real quick. There's an evil spirit. I believe it's evil this time, okay? It's an evil spirit that God gave permission. Are you hearing me? God has commissioned evil spirits to go in the mouths of prophets and prophesy prosperity. God wants a Christian for our president. And God wants a Christian for Hollywood. And God wants a Christian for all these different places of influence. God wants to put Christians in there as if that is going to change the world. Do you know what that's going to do? That's going to bring disaster. I don't think it's going to happen. All right, like I said, I'm short. I'm done. First thing you need to recognize is that Jesus has all authority over everything. Now, none of us believe that, but that's words and that's spirit and that's life. I'm going to leave you with that, okay? I'm not going to sit here and try to convince you of it. That's what the word says and that's what's true, okay? And what you all need to do is pray. Don't come across like, yes, Dan, I agree. Don't do that. I don't. I say, Lord, you know where I believe this and you know where I don't. What we have to do is mix what God says with faith. And where I can't mix it with faith, God needs to help me. Here's the deal. He wants to help you. That's point number two. He wants to help you. He's more interested in you getting it than you are. Oh, yeah, I know that. No, you don't. He's interested enough to send his son to die on the cross so that you could get it. And we think that God makes these mistakes, and we think God doesn't always have control of things, and we think the devil gets it a lick in and a lick there and whatever. And it isn't. It's God all the way. And we go, and if we stop to think about that, we go, whoa! I don't know you. You're not like I thought you would be. Guess what? He's not. But he's good. You know what they said about Aslan the lion? Is he a tame lion? Lord, no, son. He's a lion. But he's good. He's good. God is God, and he's not to be fooled with. But he's good. And you and I, that's the only one thing you and I can be grateful for. Because he's full of compassion and full of mercy. And he has proven that through the sacrifice of his son. He didn't wait till you and I got all together. And then he said, oh, okay, I can see you. You're making an effort, so I'll help. That's what most people think grace is. I make an effort, and I'll do as much as I can, and then God will help me in the making of the difference. It sounds good, but that's not grace. Grace is the fact that God said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do everything necessary for you to make it. I'm going to do everything necessary to make you successful. I'm going to do everything that's needed through my son Jesus, and I'm going to give him to you. And not as a dead Jesus. That's why I'm not a Catholic. I got a dead Jesus. He's still hanging up on the cross. And you're going to be celebrating the dead Jesus this coming Easter. And he's still hanging up on a cross. No offense to those of you who are Catholics, but for the most part, he's a dead Jesus. He raised him from the dead. The Jesus I talked to, I haven't seen his face. I'm happy for you, Sandy. I'm so happy. I haven't seen his face. But I know a little bit about his voice because I hear it regularly. And when he calls my name, I'm going to recognize who's calling my name. You know, from the very first words he ever spoke to me, I knew it was him. When I was told, when I grew up in that quote Christian church, Eva, sorry, quote Christian church, that God doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't talk to people. That was for the Old Testament. Yeah, he talked to Abraham. Maybe he talked to Paul, but he doesn't talk to people nowadays. But when Jesus said, do you mean what you just said? I knew who was talking to me. I didn't need him to sign a piece of paper verifying whose voice was speaking to mine. I knew. So my last point is this. I want to come to you, and please, just take it for what it's worth, all right? I want to come to you as a spy who's been in the land. When Jesus calls us, listen, when Jesus calls us, this is what he says. And this is where we're focused. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. And we always answer the same thing, all of us, we do. Yeah, where? Well, maybe we say why. But we'd like to know where. When God said to Abraham, he said, Abraham, leave your father's house and go to a place I will show you. You know, that's the way God does. He tells you to go somewhere, but he doesn't tell you where it is. And the reason why is because you're not going to know it till you get there. A, it's not explainable. and be in the process of getting there, you've got to change. Because otherwise, you're not going to have eyes to see it. See, the 10 spies didn't change in the wilderness. They drug Egypt with them. They didn't allow all those experiences. When God brought them to the bitter water, they thought God made a mistake. They thought, God, you don't know what you're talking about. Hey, hello, God. Didn't you know that this water is bitter? Hello, we can't drink this stuff. What is it with you anyway? You way out there past the galaxies. We're down here living, God, and this is bad water. And they threw the stick into the water and it changed and they could drink it and they didn't get it. Because when they came to the next place and there was no water, they said, hey, God, you did it again. Don't you learn anything? There's no water here at all. The other was even bad water and so we could throw a stick in it. But there isn't even any water here. What are you going to do about this? And we make fun of them because we think, wow, how stupid they were. We do the same thing all the time. I just got out of this job, God, and the boss was a real pain in the neck. And I came to the new job, and I'm thinking, hallelujah, I got a chance to work with a decent boss. And they're just like the other one, only worse. No offense, Doug, he's my boss. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about circumstances of life. And the reason why we say that is because we think God didn't know what he was doing. And yet what God wants to show you is that through the terrible boss, if you'll follow him, he'll bring deliverance. And if you learn those things along the way, then when you come into the land of promise, what you see is grapes and figs. And rain that comes down out of heaven. And an abundance of things. But if you don't learn those things along the way, guess what you find when you come into the land of promise? Giants. And walled cities. And chariots. Iron chariots. And we're just grasshoppers. Because you never learn that God's faithful. And those who saw the promised land with different eyes, they said, all that stuff is food for my kids. It's just food for my children. I want to tell you, we don't know what God has in store for us because most of us haven't gone far enough and given up enough to see it. And I'm not going to make some pronouncement like I've gone far enough. I'm just saying that God is beginning to open my eyes a little bit. And when I say my eyes, it's not these eyes. It's the eyes of my heart. Yeah. Because I've told God, as you have, it isn't worth it. You concentrate on the giants. It's not worth it. The giants will eat you for breakfast. And you know it and they know it. When God can give you different eyes, you'll see there's nothing more satisfying in all of life than to walk with God. I've been walking with God for a while now. I'm aware of the fact that it doesn't matter where I'm going, whether it's fishing, whatever I'm doing, he's there.
Amen.
And if he's not going, I'm not going either. And it'll be fun. Yeah, I'm sure it will be. But if he's not going, if he said, you and I are going somewhere else, then me and him are going somewhere else. That's just all. It has nothing to do with the fact, we'll pay the whole price. That's great. I thank you very much. God and I are going somewhere else. There's nothing more satisfying. Because all the rest of it, I'm here to tell you, doesn't matter how neat it is, it really doesn't satisfy a thing.
Amen.
And those are words. More words. Meaningless. Unless there's spirit in life, honestly. Unless God, so what you've got to do is you've got to pray. That's what it says. I forget where it was, but anyway. Oh, back up. That's where we ought to go. I got to back you up, okay? And then I'll be done. We're talking about baptism this morning. Did you notice that? Because listen, saints, if you're going through a life and it's always a pain and it's always a struggle, you haven't had a good start. Baptism is where we start. Did you know most people don't get baptized when they're Christians? And the reason is because we've lost Christianity as it's taught, has lost the realization that when you start, Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That's death. Where he's going is he's bringing to death the old Adamic nature. All that Stan can understand is consigned to the cross. Forget it. And if you learn, if you start off that way, you mean start off that way, it's over. We can point to the thing and go, that's the day I ended. Then all the other stuff is not that big a deal. Paul's sitting in prison in Philippians, and he's saying, I appreciate the fact that you all worried about the fact that I'm in prison, okay? I appreciate that. But I want you to know it's turned out for the betterment. And we go, oh, that sounds sweet and religious, doesn't it? But we got to read a little farther to realize what he's talking about when he said that. Because he says, there's other people going out there who think because I'm in prison, now they can go around preaching and doing stuff and causing me problems. That's good. I'm glad, so long as Christ is preached. He saw what you and I would have absolutely no idea to see. Because he realized that God was in every aspect of his life, and to be in prison was God's purpose for him, and it was for good. And so he looked for what the good was. And what he found out was all these people who were trying to make him miserable while he was in prison were preaching Christ, and so he was happy. We wouldn't see that. We would be all upset because they're trying to make me miserable, and now I'm having this sin, and I've been serving you for all these years, and now what you do, this is the way you honor your servants. You put me in jail, and all these other people are all going to have. And if you live like that, saints, I'm telling you, when you see the land of promise, all you're going to see is giants and walled cities and chariots of fire. Actually, they're not even chariots of fire. They're chariots of iron. We've got the chariots of fire. So what we've got to do is we've got to pray. I'm out of time. And so, just a minute. You're going to go get your boy, and we're going to get... They don't have to get ready. I do. Because I'm not going to baptize anybody in my suit, all right? We have to pray. So let's do that. Father, could you go back there? Keep in prayer. Go back, Lord, to 17. Thank you. This is our prayer, Father. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father of glory may give us a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. We got to make it a prayer. It's not an assumption. We got it. We don't. God, help us. I pray that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened so that we may know what is the hope of his calling. It's a hope. It's a hope, saints. Forever and ever is a long, long, long time. 70 years is short. Breath. Blink. Those of you who are young don't believe me, but those of us who are older realize it's gone. We wonder where it went. Be enlightened so that we will know what is the hope and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He has a tremendous inheritance in us. He delights in us. He delights in us. He delights in us. He didn't heal your shoulders because we all said the right prayers. I mean, it helped that we prayed, but he did it because he delights in what? Isn't that what Audrey said?
Yes.
Amen. Now look at this. You can open your eyes. And verse 19, and what is the surpassing greatness of the power towards us who believe. This was demonstrated when he rose Jesus from the dead. He seated you and I in the same heavenly places. We need to have a change of perspective. We see the load. We see the pain. We see the circumstances. We see the problems. We see the inconvenience. What we don't see is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us. Surpassing. Unbelievable power. Unbelievable. Nothing greater. In every circumstance, it doesn't matter. And like Sandy, you don't give up till you get your answer. You've got to believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, you're not going to take no for an answer. You want to see God? Keep asking until you see him. He may not come visibly to you, but he's going to reveal himself to you. You just don't give up. You have to know. And if it's the wrong thing you're asking for, he'll tell you.
Amen.
because he's good. All right? Now, I'm done. Thank you for the water. I'm going to have to go change. Benny and Lloyd are going to sing some songs with you while I'm changing. And we'll soon convene in the tub.